Thanks, Justin. So next up we have Philip Lindsay. He's going to show us some of the stupid things he's tried over the years. He's got a bit of a habit of messing around with things in order to learn how they work. So he comes up with some very interesting things.
Okay, can people hear me up the back?
No?
Okay, cool. Yes, there'll be plenty of people that will tell you all the practical things that you can do with Arduino and how you can make it do something useful. I'm going to show you some of the not quite so useful things that you can also do. Two main areas I'm going to look at are USB and networking. So the first one we're going to look at is USB. Now you might say, oh, USB, I know that you can only use an Arduino as a serial device and it can't pretend to be any other device, but in fact you can, thanks to something called VUSB, which stands for virtual USB or something like that, originally known as AVR USB. And crazy Austrian guy implemented a low-speed USB device and basically in hand-coded assembly, counting individual cycles, and it turns out that at the right clock speeds, if you do the right amount of work, it will actually act as a low-speed USB device. And so I thought, hey, that's kind of cool. I wish I could use that within the Arduino environment. So I put together a wrapper for that, which is available from rentsbacon.com. So there's a few different things that you can do with a low-speed USB device. Low-speed devices are things like keyboards, mice, joysticks, and those sorts of things. And there's been an example, something called the Caps Locker, which you might have seen a few years ago, which was an April Fool's joke. And basically, you could plug it into someone's computer, and it would randomly toggle the Caps Lock key, and they would wonder why it was, you know, being crazy like that. So one of the projects that I put together was something called the Stealth Twiddler, which does the same sort of thing. But operates as an Arduino sketch. And then you can also do things like authentication, and there's another project called the YubiKey, which doesn't actually use this software, but it's the same sort of idea where you have a device that can put in a authorization token or something like that. So by way of example, you can have some code, and basically... You can simply say USB keyboard, send a keystroke, and then the keystroke that you want to send, and that's enough to send it. So here's one I made earlier. Now, this one is a special device because it's actually, rather than being based on an Arduino board, it's just a proto board with a AVR and then the USB circuitry. Oh, yes. So when I say it's a software implementation, there's one bit that's not quite true, is you actually need a shield as well, but it has on it a USB connector and like five components. So it's really simple to put one together. And in fact, I think there was a book out recently that even describes in quite detail how you put it together. So you might want to look that up. So basically, it's just that little shield, you put it on, and that can now act as a low-speed USB device. So this one here is that same circuitry, but on a proto board with a little LED indicator and a push button. So when we plug this in, normally if it hadn't been plugged into this computer before, it would come up and say, hey, you've put a new keyboard in, press the shift key, and I'll try and work out what it is. But that's kind of difficult when it doesn't have a shift key. So for example, we can go to our web browser and basically, this can act in three different modes. The first mode is sitting around doing nothing mode, and then we can go to the next one where it has a little green LED which says you're in the next mode. And so then there's a button, so we press the button. Yes, let's try that again. Press the button and type out ransombacon.com and takes you to my domain. And that's all from doing one button push. Then the other thing you can do is you can then go into the next mode, which will turn on the red light. And when we push it, it'll bring up expose, or in this case, dashboard. And you press it again, and it goes away. So basically, anything that can be done from a keyboard can be you can implement in this and send stuff. So I published this code, I don't know, a year or so ago, I think, and then someone contacted me and supplied a joystick implementation and a mouse implementation. So you can have a device which can be a specialized keyboard. Someone the other day sent something to John and said, hey, here's my special it was a Google Reader keyboard, and it had just the keys that he needed to read Google Reader. And so people have done things like create their own mice and that sort of thing. The next example is being a little bit more sophisticated. So the reason why that's really handy is you don't have to install any sort of drivers because it uses the standard USB HID keyboard drivers. Now, another option that you have to write code. So one of the things I don't like is that you have to, if you're wanting to do something, you've got to install the serial drivers to be able to access your Arduino. So by using this more code from here, we can actually have a device which uses libUSB, which means that we don't need a specialized driver for it. So as an example, we can use Python on the host to find the particular USB device and then write data to it or read data from it, and that's without having to have a specialized driver installed. And then on the Arduino side, it's as simple as including the file and then writing to the stream and then refreshing every 50 milliseconds or so and then checking to see if there's data. So it's very much in the same way as the standard serial link in terms of the interface, but you have the advantage that you don't have to install drivers. So you can do things like you can have software protection dongles. So, for example, if we have a piece of protected code, we might want to go... So we have our protected code, which, if we look at the file, is... is stored in this string here as a chunk of characters. So if we try and run it, because I'm plugged in already and it was already stored on Sketch. So if I wasn't plugged in and we tried to run it, it would complain because it couldn't find the device, and then you could connect the device. And so what it's actually doing is that when you connect the device, it goes out and sends the string out to the device. The device decodes it and then passes it back, and then it evaluates it. I wouldn't recommend, you know, like staking your whole business on this as your software protection mechanism. But yes, kind of interesting as sort of a co-processor or something that does a particular task which you can implement in hardware. So one of the other interesting things with USB is around the security aspect of it, which is basically fuzzing. So the idea is that you pretend to be a particular USB device and see if you can break the driver. So in USB, the device says, hey, I'm this sort of device, and the operating system says, oh, cool, I know how to handle you, so let's go and do it. And if you're fuzzing, then you go, hey, I'm this device, and then wait to see if you get a response, and then you say, oh, I'm this device, and then the driver says, oh, I know how you work, and then if you're not actually that device, then you can make it break. So the question is, does it work? And the answer is yes. At least on relatively recent versions of Ubuntu, I basically fuzzed the whole way along and then discovered that there was an IPAC driver, which when you pretended to be that device would give you a null-pointed dereference, and then in some cases would actually completely take out the USB subsystem. But as it happened, someone else had already discovered the same bug from an actual device that caused the same problem. So, yes, alas, it wasn't all brand new, but it was still kind of satisfying that you could do that. And the really complicated code, which would you could put into this device and then walk up to somebody with an Ubuntu box that wasn't patched, is like this many lines long. All you have to do is say, I'm this device, and it'll do the rest of it itself. So that's USB. The next thing is networking. We've seen Ethernet shields. It's quite a powerful chip, and there's a lot that you can do with it. There's a lot that can still be done that hasn't been done yet, because you can operate it at really low level. So the first example I'm going to give you is using Flash and the having an HTTP REST interface on the device. So we upload it. So basically, I used the Python Ming libraries to generate a Flash file. And then I store the Flash file on the device. And then we can... That's uploaded. We can go to the device. It isn't wireless, however, so you do still need to plug the network cable in. So what it's done is it's taken the Flash file, which is stored just in progmem, and served that up. And then we can turn it on. And what it is doing is it's reading the analog and digital. It's a little bit hard to see. But basically, you've got three graphs of the of three of the analog ports, and it'll graph that, and they're just floating inputs, so they'll detect whatever's around. And behind the scenes, how it's doing it is there's this REST API which allows you to read the values, and it will return them, and then you can also read and write the digital values and read and write positions in EEPROM as well. So you can actually have a JavaScript application or a Python application that just specs HTTP to this device, and then you can control other things with it. Another security example is DHCP exhaustion attacks, which are kind of old news, but just to show that it's fairly simple and that you can act at a really low level. Basically, you just say, oh, I've got a whole lot of different MAC addresses, and so you go through a loop and change them, and that's enough to make the DHCP server on a MAC like stop giving out addresses because it has no protection against that. And then there's this other thing called VNC, where if we upload it, so we can connect to our Arduino. Oh, whoops, it's still going, so I should slow down. Yes, I noticed. All right, this time. This is not the most robust of VNC clients. That and the fact I'm kind of impatient. Okay, this time. So, it's serving up a desktop, as you can tell, because it says it's Arduino, and then it's sending back again analog readings and from the analog inputs, and yeah, that's got absolutely no kind of point to it whatsoever. I'm yet to come up with an example where using VNC makes more sense than using like HTTP or something, but it just seems to be cool that you can actually do that. And in the future, it's going to be possible to like read input and stuff as well, because it can handle that okay. A couple of plugs. Hackerspaces, if you live in Christchurch or Wellington in New Zealand or various places in Aussie, go along to your local hackerspace and do cool stuff. We also have Planet, which has New Zealand tech blogs being syndicated on it. If you want to find out more about Arduino in New Zealand, you can go to that URL, which has stockists and that sort of thing, and other crazy stuff from me at rantsbacon.com. I've still got a couple minutes. Yep. All right. Somewhat related projects. One is this one. So this here is kind of hard to see, but it's an Atmega 168 chip on a small board. That has three LEDs and a switch on it. And this is an example of how you can eventually get to a point where you take off from using an official board to making your own sort of board. And so it's a reaction tester game, so it gives you a countdown and then goes through the LEDs, and then each time it goes green, you press the button and it takes you up a level and it keeps on going until you have all the LEDs lit at the same time. You can't tell which ones are on, which ones are off. Yeah, thanks. And then completely un-Arduino related, but still kind of cute. And also to give you an example of how simple functionality can give you quite sort of a powerful effect, this is a bright bunny. Can anybody tell me what bunnies like? Yes, they do. So when you feed the bright bunny his carrot, his heart lights up. And that's done with an LED, a reed switch, and a magnet, and a battery. And it's a really good way. I actually put the project together for a craft and electronics workshop last year, and we had five people that had never soldered before, including like a couple of 12-year-olds and stuff, and they were quite happy to kind of pick that up. So you can go from something that's really simple and sort of have a really effective response from it. And it's also good because if you're like me, when I started doing Arduino stuff, I'd always had an interest in electronics, but I never really had a good grasp on sort of like all of the underlying stuff. But the great thing with the Arduino is it turns what used to be sort of a 100% hardware problem into a 90% software problem. I can do software, and then I can just learn the little bit of hardware that I need for each project. So, 3 years ago or thereabouts, I was in the same position as you if you're just starting out. So you can kind of do cool and practical stuff, or cool and practical stuff. So thank you.
Thanks, Philip. That BNC server is way cool. We've got about a half-hour break now, I think it is, afternoon tea. There'll be some snacks and things outside. And then Peter Chubb will be up to talk about using Arduino to teach embedded computing to high school students. I haven't actually seen Peter today, so I hope he's here. Peter, if you're in the room, come and see me, please. But everyone else, break for half an hour.